Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it is brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Dateline Girona, Spain. John Daly is playing this week for the first time this year in the start of a planned five-week run on the European Tour before he goes back to the United States and rejoins the PGA Tour in June. He has lost 60 pounds. He has revamped his swing while serving the six-month PGA Tour suspension. And he's wearing some very boisterous clothing. His new sponsor, Loudmouth Golf, is outfitting him in brown and green striped trousers as well as orange and pink paisley slacks. He shot a first-round 200 par 70 at the Spanish Open this week. Yesterday, he shot a 2-over par 74, and he goes into today's final round 51st in the field. Pat, what do you think we'll see from John once he comes back to the PGA Tour in June?
Well, you're going to continue, I guess, to see the garish pants. I don't actually mind all that. I like the fact, number one, that he's lost some weight. He shaved his head again. You know, looks a lot leaner. It still looks like he could tone up that body a little bit. So I think he's got some work to do to completely chisel the thing. I like the fact that he's wearing some goofy clothes. I think that sort of jives with John's personality that, you know, even though he doesn't come across as a complete nut, he is that kind of, rebel, you know, and that's what we always used to like about John until it went, I think, to the dark side where, you know, it was just too much of the drinking and not enough of the on-course performance to continue to be able to support him. Hey, it's a good first step. I like the fact that he's showing up for tournaments. He doesn't appear to be drunk. He's not selling, stuff in the Hooters van, I guess, outside of the tournament.
Do they have Hooters in Girona, Spain?
I imagine they do. it's called El Hooter, though, over there. But I like the initial first step. But, you know, with John, like, you're going to need to see more consistency of performance, and not just on the golf course, but off it. Is he going to start, taking his shirt off and playing golf, getting photographed doing that? Is he going to be, doing all the goofy stuff that, sort of really brought him down in both of our eyes, and I think a lot of avid golf fans' eyes over the last few years. So what it took him a long time to break down, and it's going to take him a while to build it back up. So I like all these steps. I think he's doing, the right thing, playing over there, trying to get his game in shape. But ultimately, it's going to come back to, can he start winning again? John's no kid anymore. Can he start competing? Can he start winning PGA tournaments? And I think maybe this is the only avenue he has is this. So I'm glad to see him taking that. But at the same time, he's got to show me more.
All right. The only thing I will say in regards to this story, to follow up what you just said, Pat, is he's lost 60 pounds, and he still looks like he weighs about 275.
He needs to lose 60 more.
I've seen some video of him on Golf Channel. He still looks like he weighs about 275. Now, you can tell he has lost some weight, and we talked about his surgery a couple weeks ago when we learned about the fact that John Daly had gotten the gastrointestinal surgery to make his stomach smaller and therefore to try to lose weight, and apparently he's lost 60 pounds. He still looks like he's 275. And that means if he's lost 60 pounds, he was about 330 pounds before the surgery. And to me, John Daly's only 5'11". He was weighing 330 pounds. No wonder he wasn't playing well. It doesn't make sense. But still, just to think, it just proves how athletic he is. He was weighing as much as Shaquille O'Neal, who's more than a foot taller than him, and he was still competing in golf tournaments. Now, he was missing a lot of cuts, but what it just proves again what I say all the time about John Daly. What a waste of talent. For a guy who could be 330 pounds at only 5'11" and still compete on the PGA Tour, it just proves that what would he be if he was 250 in shape? He could have been a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. What a unfortunate waste of talent.
You are correct, Russ. All right, last one goes to you, number four. 63 is the magic number, Russ, in major golf competition. That is the lowest score ever recorded, and it's been done multiple times in all four of the majors and in the upcoming Players Championship. That's also the low number there. But my question to you is, will we see a 62 somewhere and where? And I'll give you a quick You know, just history of it. In the Masters, there's only been two rounds of 63, last one in 96 by Greg Norman. U.S. Open, there's been four rounds of 63, last one, Vijay Singh in 2003. British Open, there's been seven rounds of 63, last one in 93 by Payne Stewart. And the PGA Championship, there's been 10 rounds of 63, the last one by Tiger in 2007. So when will we see it again? When will we see a 62, if we do, and where?
Oh, good question, Pat. Good question. Isn't
it, thought of it.
Isn't that ironic that 63 is the number, the lowest number ever in all four majors, as well as the Players' Championship, the unofficial fifth major? So I like your question. Now, if you go numbers-wise, if you go by where it's happened the most often and therefore think that perhaps the most probability that we'll see one shot lower, a 62, might happen where we've seen the most 63s. That would lead you to believe the PGA Championship, where, as you just mentioned, it's been done 10 times. And Tiger Woods, the last man to shoot 63 in a major, and he did it at the PGA Championship 2 years ago at Southern Hills. But I think, in my opinion, I think it's going to happen at the Masters. We just saw Angel Cabrera win via playoff, and finally we saw some low numbers. 12 under was the number that got into the playoff at the Masters. I think the Masters is finally back to what it was 10, 15 years ago, where guys can go low. They can shoot 60, 63, 64, 65. Now, Greg Norman was the last to do it, you know, over a decade ago, 1996, and Nick Price was the other guy to shoot 63 at the Masters. I just have a feeling we're going to see Tiger or Phil one of these days shoot a 62 or a 63 at the Masters. Obviously, we're talking about where will the first 62 happen. I think it's going to be at the Masters because I think these guys, the Masters is the only major of the four, and obviously the Players fits this same description as well. The Players and the Masters, the only tournaments of the five where it's played at the same course each and every year. And I think that breeds familiarity, and I think familiarity breeds a possibility to go low because these guys play these courses year after year and they find out what the tricks are, tricks of the trade, so therefore there's more probability that one of these guys who's played it year after year after year, i.e. Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson at the Masters or the Players, could go real low. And I think we'll see the lowest, we'll see a 62 first at the Masters. I will say this though, numbers wise, if you're playing on a par 71 or a par 70, mathematically it makes sense that you have a better chance to get down to 62 because therefore you don't have as many strokes to traverse. You only have to be 8 under or 9 under instead of 10 under for a par 72. That's the one drawback for the Masters. It is a par 72 setup. Well, which majors tend to have a par 71 or a par 70? That's the British Open and the U.S. Open. So mathematically, if you take that into account, perhaps it's the British Open or the U.S. Open because most of the time they start out at 71 or 70 below that 72 number. But I'm going to go on record. I'm saying it's going to be the Masters.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm not going to say it definitely won't happen in the Masters. Chad Campbell had a chance to do it this year, I think in the first or second round, and he bogeyed the last two holes and shot 65. So he had a chance to do it with a birdie on one of those two holes and couldn't do it. But the fact is you've only had two in the whole history of the Masters, two guys shoot 63. So the history tells me that it's going to be very difficult for someone, just the Masters jinx or whatever it is, or all the, you know, just the aura of the Masters, I think is going to be tough. I think the U.S. Open will not happen there because I just think the U.S. Open generally is the toughest setup of all the majors, and I don't think they'll allow a 62 to happen there unless somebody just, you know, by freak, like Johnny Miller did in 73, you know, go unbelievably hot. So
at Oakmont, one of the toughest courses in the country.
So I'm going British Open or PGA. Now, PGA, the courses are a little less penal. You know, the setup's a little less penal, so and they have the most at 10, most rounds at 63, so you figure it's going to happen. But here's my guess, Russ. I actually think it's going to happen in the British Open. I think what will happen at the British Open at some point is that you'll just get an unbelievably calm day there at one of these things, and some guy will go nuts, be able to reach par fives and two, get a couple eagles. And I think the British Open is where it will happen, even though it's been the longest since 93 now, since we've had a 63 at the British Open with Payne Stewart. I still think that's the most apt place for a 62 to happen.
All right, interesting. One last note on the 63 in the majors before we put this to bed. You talked about all the guys that have shot 63. Johnny Miller at the U.S. Open 73. Jack Nicklaus at the 80 U.S. Open at Baltusrol. Nick Price, the first player to shoot 63 at the Masters. Nick Faldo, last guy to shoot 63 at the British. You mentioned 1993 was the last time 63 was shot at the British. Nick Faldo was the guy that did that. Tiger Woods shot 63 at the 07 PGA Championship. Only one player has shot 63 in three different occasions at three different tournaments, and it's Greg Norman. You think about all the records that Greg Norman holds. Greg Norman shot 63 at the Players' Championship in 1994, and he holds the scoring record, the 72-hole scoring record. He shot 63 opening round Thursday, and then three straight 67s over the weekend. 67 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and he won going away in that 94 Players' Championship. He also shot 63 at the Masters, and he also shot 63 at the British Open in 86, one of the British Opens that he won. He shot 63. Greg Norman, we talked about Freddie Couples being a possible disappointment. No doubt about it, Greg Norman, even though he's had a Hall of Fame career, 20 PGA Tour victories and a couple of major championships, all the heartbreak at the Masters, perhaps he's the embodiment of disappointment, Greg Norman. Thinking of what he could have been one of the greatest of all times.
Well, the talent, to shoot 63, Russ, like you're talking about, and all these events is, you know, Tiger's only done it one time, and you know, Tiger's the greatest player of all time. Jack Nicklaus only did it the one time at Baltusrol, you know, probably equally the greatest player of all, or very close behind. But Greg Norman, like you said, has done it three times. You know, we're going to count the TPC as one of the majors, but you know, just the ability to get himself in those positions and not afraid to score, make that score. Some guys do. They get to a certain score and they're like, oh my God, I can't get any lower than this. I'm out of my comfort zone. So Greg's not afraid to do that. But with that, you know, he had the great, you know, explosions too, and just couldn't, you know, like you said, just couldn't. On a daily basis, in one round, Greg Norman might have been the best player of all time because he could turn that on. But over the course of a tournament, something always seemed to happen, or did a lot of times, and just derail him.
Yeah, good point, Pat. That was another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week here on the program, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.